The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. It is 7 minutes past 10 on this Friday, the 13th of October. For some people, it's a day of suspicion. Do you have any superstitious? Are you superstitious is the question I want to ask you. We'll talk about that a little later on. Share your stories of suspicions. I'm not phrasing this correctly at all. What would you avoid on a day like today, or any day for that matter? So are you superstitious, and what do you avoid? Walking under a ladder, breaking a mirror, new shoes on a table. All of these are somewhat common, but do you have an unusual suspicion? Is there anything that you would or wouldn't do? Not just today, but any day. Text in 086 60 25000. Tell us about your superstitions, or maybe you became superstitious because something happened. Now, obviously, we're not talking about serious things because we're trying to keep it light, okay, for this feature. But if there's anything to do with superstitions or the history of superstitions or a superstition in your family, share your stories. Get your phone out. I know a lot of you never text a radio show. You just sit back and listen, and that's perfectly fine. But get the old phone out, 086 60 25000. WhatsApp that number, or text into us, or send us a voice note on WhatsApp if you prefer. And tell us about your superstitions. You can add them on social media as well, on our Facebook pages, I believe, maybe even Instagram, if we're really ramping it up. Okay, so get your superstitions into us, your little stories of superstition and so on and so forth. And as I say, obviously, if it's not too serious, maybe you became superstitious after something or other. As I say, you know the text WhatsApp number. Hunters, who you're watching across our various platforms, it's great to have you all on board, by the way, and it's great to see you engaging with us that way. Thank you so much for all of your comments across, as I say, the various social media platforms and our website as well, where you can watch live in browser there. A caller quite rightly points out, we heard earlier on from a listener who saw a Palestinian flag from a car and says we shouldn't be doing that. If I put out a Russian flag, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I don't mean blah, blah, blah as in to diminish the point. But a caller rightly points out the Palestinian flag is not the Hamas flag. So that flag is out for solidarity with the people of Palestine and not necessarily an endorsement of the actions of Hamas. Though we heard yesterday from a local person involved with a Palestinian group that Hamas has universal support of the Palestinian people, so square that circle. But this caller goes on to say the Palestinian flag is same as the tricolour. It's not the IRA flag, is the point that they're trying to make. Don't support any side in this conflict, but make no mistake, it is going to affect everyone. There's going to be a major refugee crisis, and a lot of them will be coming to Europe, and I think that is a fact. Just listening here, Mike, education, health, home care, disability services, mental health, immigration, climate, everything is in crisis. How many times was the word crisis used this morning? If I started to really think outside the box, there's something very McLavian going on here. Everything in crisis, people in crisis, the government comes up with something that seems to solve all the problems, but at a cost, and people will run with open arms. I just wonder what's down the line. Another, it beggars belief that government in Ireland do not have respect for human life when government is funding abortions. What kind of our leaders are in this country? The people voted in relation to that, and it was a relatively tight vote, but that was an aspect of health, and people will dispute whether or not it is healthcare, and I get that as well. But the people had a vote on allowing terminations, and the majority of people voted in favour of such. So the government, you could argue, is supporting the will of the people. And as I say, that's not a view. That is just a statement of where we are. Just for people, in case they don't know, anyone that has a child in secondary school who's recently turned 18, the children allowance won't come into effect until September 2024. Okay, I did not realise that. Okay. What people are not saying is that the people of Palestine don't want any other religion in the Arab world. Are there not quite a few Christians living in Palestine? But anyway, especially Jews, they say. Also, this is supposed to be the religion of peace. I love your panel, wanted dialogue in Israel, but Ukraine, Russia, they most likely fly the Ukrainian flag. I think all three of them would very much be of the view that that's also a situation that needs mediation, and maybe us as a neutral country, rather than training soldiers how to shoot guns, maybe that was the role we had to offer as mediators, given the history of our own island. Had Putin issued an order for 1 million people plus to evacuate a similar area as Gaza in Ukraine within 24 hours, the world would be apoplectic with rage, but the US-UK barely say a word. The Israelis are implementing their final solution against the Palestinian Arabs, just as Nazi Germany once did. Another, Israel believes the Palestinians have no right to freedom on the Palestinians' own land, which has, this caller says, been stolen. And on it goes. Kate on social media. My strongest superstition is a bird in the house, a sure sign of a death in the family. Well, that's a bit heavy. But, Kate, if that's your theory, that being said, a lot of people get a lot of comfort. I remember after my father died, we had a robin come to the house, never really had it before, and it stayed for ages and ages and ages and ended up calling it Sylvester. Such was its persistence. And it kind of became a symbol of the whole thing, if you know what I mean. No, that's not a superstition, is it, as such? But it was just strange because such a bird had never visited. And it sat looking in the window every morning, every afternoon, every evening. It was there. For a very long time, too. I don't know what the cycle of a robin, how long they're supposed to hang about or how long they're supposed to be there or when they're supposed to leave or do they travel in pairs. I don't know. But this little fella, Sylvester, as he ended up being called, he was there all the time. Windowsills, sitting on fence posts, constant. Now, I did have to clean up a lot of his poo, but I didn't mind that. Right, 086 60 25,000, get your superstitions into us. Are you superstitious? What was passed down to you from your family? Is there anything you simply would not do? Let us know. 086 60 25,000.
Congratulations and celebrations.
Oh, there is going to be some celebrations around the Moore household in Letterkenny.
Congratulations.
Isabel, are you there?
Yes.
How are you feeling?
Good.
Okay. Are you a regular Highland Radio bingo player?
Yes.
Okay, excellent stuff. How long have you been playing?
Oh, 4 or 5 years anyway.
Brilliant stuff. And you do amazing work in supporting the National Council for the Blind of Ireland. I think it was the year before last, through people playing Radio Bingo, they raised over €100,000. So thanks to the likes of you and all the other players, they get to continue the fantastic work that you do. Now, you bought your recent book in Harkins Gala. Is that your usual hotspot, Isabel? Is that where you always get your book?
Not really. I get it now. Better can I most of the time.
Excellent. Brilliant stuff. Okay. Well, anyway, I think you've already been told, so it's no big surprise, that you have won Thursday's jackpot of €21,400. I mean, what a brilliant piece of news for you to get, Isabel. Could you believe it?
Yeah. I couldn't believe it. No, I wanted three numbers, like, and I couldn't believe it.
And were you marking the book as the numbers come out, or how do you do it?
No, I mark a book and then I write the numbers down and then I mark them off them.
Very, very good. And as if that wasn't enough for you, the little bonus prize of the daily prize, €150. So in total, your winnings, €21,550. Wow. Well done to you, Isabel.
Yes.
Has it sunk in yet?
It hasn't really. Still in shock.
I'm not surprised. I've been shocked. And come here, what are you going to do with the money? Or are you put rainy day fund like the Irish government are doing? Or is there anything you're going to treat yourself to? Or what's the story?
I might treat myself to a holiday.
Why not? Anywhere you'd like to go?
Haven't decided anywhere yet. So
it's early doors. Okay. Well, listen, it's fantastic. It's fantastic for you and for all of our bingo players as well, too. They win on a regular basis, many of them. But you're today's big winner, €21,550, the jackpot of €21,400, and the daily prize there of €150. Congratulations to you, Isabel, and happiness and health to enjoy your winnings.
Thank you very much, Greg. Thank you. And lovely to be speaking to you.
It is. Do you have any superstitions, Isabel? Yeah. We've been talking about superstitions this morning. Have you any particular way that you mark your bingo book, just in case anyone's listening and they can pick up some tips from you?
No, just mark it every morning, before the bingo numbers are called.
And when Katie rang you this morning, did you think it was someone taking the hand out of you?
No, I didn't.
Okay, good. You're not as suspicious as I would be. All right, Isabel, no. Congratulations to you. And as I say, great health.
Thank you.
To enjoy
Thank
the
you,
money.
Greg.
God
Thank
bless you.
You.
Take Thank care. You, That's Isabel Moore from Letterkenny. She bought her winning book in Harkins in Gala, and she has won the jackpot prize, €21,400, and the daily prize as well of €150,000. That brings her total winnings to €21,550. And stand by, because on Highland Radio social media in the not too distant future, I think you're probably going to see Isabel with quite a large check, as is the way things go. Right, so it all rolls again next week. What is the starting jackpot, Katie? Can you ask Katie what the jackpot starts at on Thursday? Kate, what does the jackpot start on Thursday for Katie there? No? We don't know. Ask Katie. Okay, anyway. It all starts again next Monday with the nice daily cash prizes. So if you want to play and maybe you could be the next big winner, you can get your books in most retailers across the region, and you, like Isabel, could be a big winner. And also we have loads of daily cash prize winners as well. Someone wins money every day, or it rolls on to the next day, and so on and so forth. Right, okay. Keep your suspicions coming into us. Are you suspicious? Or maybe you're not. We want to hear. Right, shall we go to a few more comments here? Yeah, we will indeed. A caller says, it's unlucky to turn when on a journey. Right, okay, I never knew that. I've done it once or twice, mostly because a little argument has erupted in the car. Well, it happened once anyway, so I was unlucky before I had to turn. If I came in the back of a house, I have to go out the back door again. I wouldn't feel right going out the front. I'm the type of person, you know, that this these are all going to become parts of my life now. I think the only thing I wouldn't do is probably at this point is go near a tree, a fairy tree. Is that what they're called? I wouldn't do that. Everything else I'm not too bothered about. But anyway, here's a listener that if they went in the back door, you'd go out the back door again. You're going out the same way you came in, to quote the big hit from Big Tom. On Friday the 13th, I avoid superstitious people. I remember Friday the 13th going back years and years ago. It used to be a huge thing, but not so much anymore. Okay, some of your comments. Mary is right. If we can't look after our sick and elderly, we cannot call ourselves a good country. It's delusional. Another, I want to compliment Mary T on her points. Much needed. Another reality of this budget is that it's an exercise in PR. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have wrecked our health service, according to this listener. They've caused the housing crisis. Our country's broken, and these same people are looking for credit for trying to fix what they've broken. We need change, and a new coalition will not bring that, involving Sinn Féin, they believe. Skimping on a basic necessity for our soldiers, and our government have no problem throwing thousands to RTE to spend on flip-flops. It's not really what they're giving them money for, but I understand where you're coming from with that point. A listener says we need a minor injuries unit in Carndonagh, and not just there, right across the country, I would argue. When doctors are afraid to send patients to the ED in Letterkenny because they know the ordeal that lies ahead of them, all they are asking for is more staff. Sepsis and other medical issues being missed. Panel great today, telling it like it is. Another, a fracture clinic is needed separate. There's always at least seven who need an X-ray as well as this. Why is more not done by the GPs? Which is the point that Paddy Rooney was making, that GPs who are highly qualified in certain areas are sometimes sending patients to the ED to be seen by lesser qualified staff. And that was a point that he was making, backed up by that listener. Senator Sharon Keoghan is an independent and joins us on the programme now. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you, and good morning to your listeners.
Thanks for joining us. You've raised the issue of father's rights, and you are calling for single mothers to be required to name a father on a birth. So that's not an actual requirement at the moment. What would be achieved by that?
Well, first of all, there was a piece of legislation that was introduced in 2014, the Civil Registration Amendment Act of 2014. And under that piece of legislation, it did require mothers to enter the birth names of the father on the birth cert. And that was commenced in 2014, and the law was enacted in December 2014, and certain sections of that particular piece of legislation have actually been enacted upon. So this particular piece of legislation, Section 6, there has been a technical error that has been found on that piece of legislation, and that piece of legislation has not commenced to date. So very simply, I suppose it is the duty of anyone that is registering a child at the time of the birth that they would actually register the mother and the father's name at that time. And that this piece of legislation would have allowed that to happen.
And we are in the situation where this has been debated and decided upon, as you've quite rightly pointed out. It just has not been correctly adopted. It is something of a loophole.
I think it was just a technical error that was made at the time. It has just been obviously noticed. And the department, have obviously, by me keep pressing on the issue, they have just... they're redrafting the legislation as we speak. They're making amendments to the legislation as we speak. And hopefully that won't be too long. I mean, there's fathers in this country for the last 9 years that have not been able to get their rightful name on birth certs. So, and I've been contacted by, as indeed I'm sure that many local and national representatives across Ireland have been contacted by fathers whose names may not be on the birth certs of their children. So hopefully it won't take the department too long to actually, the Department of Social Protection, Community and Rural Affairs, to actually get this legislation before the Houses to be enacted. But I think it's a very important piece of legislation. Every child has that right to be able to trace back who their mother and father is. We if we've learned anything from our history, having those names available to children going forward in the future is really, really important. So it's an important piece of legislation for fathers' rights in this country.
Do you think it goes far enough, though? Because the registration of the father under the legislation, when it is corrected, the man has to acknowledge paternity of the child for his name to be included. And I'm sure, you know, there are many men over time and currently who want nothing to do with their child or what for whatever, or the child's mother for whatever it might be. Why should those children miss out on the right to know who their father is? Do you think there should be some level of compulsion or how would
Absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, parents have to share responsibilities. You know, when you father a child or become a parent to a child, you have to bear the responsibilities for that child. And there are many people out there that act irresponsibly. But, you know, that is something that the minister should look at in relation to those particular cohort of fathers that do not step up, that do not provide, that should be providing for their child. That is an absolute fundamental right to that sole parent that is caring for the children, that financial support is available for that child from that father, whatever that amount may be that's designated. But definitely fathers should always pay for the maintenance of their children. And this piece of legislation is basically just protecting the father's right and their name on that piece of paper when it comes to the birth cert of that child.
Now, the people that you've been contacted by, I'm sure over the years, this legislation might come too late for them when it is corrected. Is there any, you know, retrospective element to it? Should there be? Can a birth cert be amended after the fact?
Oh, I would obviously think that all birth certs, but I mean, this obviously takes a piece of training for county registrars, and they will all have to be briefed on the particular piece of legislation that's been introduced. So I think we have to see the details of the new amendments that are going to come before both houses. But when we see those amendments, I'm sure that the Dáil and the Shannon will act very quickly, and the training will go in place for the local registrars in the various
And just Senator, for the benefit of our listeners who might not be aware of this, you know, is there a typical sort of communication you get from a man? You know, what impact it's had on them or their relationship with the child or what have you, if the name is absent for whatever reason or for the particular reason we're talking of here, I suppose. What kind of an impact it's had on them? What do they miss out on? Just so we get a better understanding of why this is important.
Well, it can affect men very badly when the mother does not actually acknowledge the father on that birth cert. It's a little bit of coercive control sometimes by individuals. And, you know, when it comes to children, nobody should ever play that role and use a child against another individual, to hurt an individual. And you just never know from the time a woman gets pregnant to the time she gives birth and subsequent months after that. You know, sometimes relationships fall apart, and sometimes, you know, emotions are running very, very high, and mothers then say, don't want to register the father's name for whatever reason. Mm. And it does play an immense role on the mental health of these fathers. So,
of course, I presume part of that as well is parental alienation as well, of course, is an issue that often comes up on programs like this.
Absolutely, and it is real. Yep. Parent alienation is very, very real, and I think we need to acknowledge that. I think a lot more of the courts are actually acknowledging parent alienation today, and it does happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but you got—you've got a recognition of your concerns that there is a problem there, and a commitment
to fix it.
But you want
to be expedited. So, it's been like nearly 3,500 days later, you know, we've now found out what the problem is. At least we have now found it. Mm-hmm. And now fathers have, you know, hopefully we won't have to wait too long. And I certainly will be pushing this legislation forward to make sure that this legislation goes forward. The father do actually have their rightful rights to have their name on the birth cert of their child.
All right, Senator, thanks for your time this Friday morning. I do appreciate it. Have a lovely weekend.
Thank you very much, and same to you. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Daniel O'Donnell has reiterated his warning about people against scams, so we just thought we'd give it a bit of a mention here too. He, as you would know, he was on the programme with us, I believe, but he's reiterated the warning that there are people scamming on his page, impersonating him on Facebook since his mother-in-law's death. His wife Magella's mother, Marion, died last month, sadly, at St Mary's Nursing Home in Galway. Daniel spoke out about it again yesterday after a fake Facebook page purporting to be from him began responding to condolences from followers on his mother-in-law's death. He doesn't do that. So if he has done that, or you suspect he has, which he hasn't, please be extra careful that you don't end up getting scammed there. An interesting story emerging, which I'll get to a little later on, if that's okay, because I want to say good morning to Lisa Gallagher to publicise breast cancer awareness, Pink Run and Walk. Hi, Lisa.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you keeping now, Lisa?
Yeah, still going for my treatment. I had my sixth chemo session yesterday, and getting through it.
Good stuff. Okay. Now, there is an event taking place on Sunday. It's a breast cancer awareness pink run, and importantly, for those who don't run, walk as well. Talk to us a little bit about it, Lisa.
Yeah, so I came up with the idea, and I used to run, you know, love running, been running for 10 years. And I actually started the Couch to 5K at the community centre 10 years ago. So I contacted Monica Greer and said, I've got this great idea. Why don't we hold a fundraiser, because it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month? And so it kind of grew legs. And then with a lot of help from friends, we managed to get it up and, you know, get the event started and, you know, plan for Sunday. So it's going to be a 5K run and a 3K walk. So it's accessible, you know, for runners and walkers. It's everybody's invited, families, you know, and we want to turn Letterkenny pink.
Mm-hmm. And how do people get involved?
So on the day, on Sunday, so the registration opens at 9 a.m.
You mentioned that already. Sorry, Lisa, but my headphones cut out a little bit, you see. So my apologies if you've already mentioned this, but no harm to say it again.
Yeah, so the registration is from Letterkenny Community Centre at 9 a.m. And then the races start at 10:30. So it's €8 per adult, and the children are free. And we've got music. We've got Kira McVeigh. She's coming to do the warm-up, and there's refreshments afterwards for everybody. So we want to make it a big celebration. And we also are holding a raffle. So I want to thank all the local businesses in the town that have sponsored us and also donated refreshments for the day.
Oh, lovely. It's great when you get that backing and support, isn't it? And it's for Cancer Care West, which has been a huge support for you. And it's one of those organisations, Lisa, isn't it, that maybe until such time as you need the services or you're directed towards them, you might not even really know the kind of work they do and the importance of the work that they do, Lisa.
Oh, it's a fantastic service. No, I would never have known it was there. And I go every kind of couple of weeks for reflexology, but they have counselling. I mean, it's just a lovely place. As soon as you walk in the door, it's so welcoming, and it's just people up there, fantastic, and families, great support for everybody that's going through cancer, and they just kind of help you feel kind of normal again, because once you get your diagnosis of cancer, you want to hold on to your normal life as well, do you know, because it kind of takes over your life, obviously, because you've got to go through treatment and everything, and it's just nice to do normal things too.
Good, and you must have a lovely group of friends, Lisa, that you're able to come together with and organise something like this.
Oh my gosh, thank God for my friends and family. Yeah, otherwise, I just wouldn't be able to go ahead. They've been fantastic, and you know, you just kind of ask them, but I think they probably find it really hard to refuse me at this stage.
No harm in that either. All right, so just to remind you that the Cancer Care West is a really great West of Ireland cancer charity, and on Sunday, the Breast Cancer Awareness 5K run, 3K walk for all ages and abilities. It's a pink run and walk. It starts at Letterkenny Community Centre from 10:30 a.m. 8 euro per adult. Children are free, and registrations are being taken from 9 a.m. on the day. And all funds raised are in aid of Cancer Care West. And there's been great support too from local businesses and what have you, who have sponsored raffle prizes and what have you. And Lisa, I think it's going to be a lovely morning and a great way to spend a Sunday morning out of bed relatively early and have a bit of exercise done and home early afternoon. Not so bad.
It'd be a lovely way. It's going to be a big celebration, and that's what we want it to be. And everyone, if they want to wear pink as well, because we just, that's obviously our theme.
Yes.
Even the men.
Of course.
Pink on the men look lovely too. Exactly. It looks lovely. Yes, so no excuses.
All right, Lisa.
They do, and it's lovely.
Congratulations to you, your friends and families in getting it over the line. And I hope there's a huge turnout and everyone has fun and loads of money is raised for Cancer Care West.
Yes, what it's about. Thank you for having me on, Greg. I appreciate that.
Continued strength and whatever you need on your journey. Hopefully it's over you soon, Lisa, and you're back to full fettle.
Yeah, thank you.
Take care.
So bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Take care, Greg.
Bye-bye. That's Lisa Gallagher there. Rightio, 086 60 25,000. We've been talking about superstitions here. I would never buy a pair of shoes for my wife or partner, as they say, if you do, they walk away. That's like, is it? It's kind of handy for us fellas, though, isn't it? I wouldn't buy a coat in case they put it on and leave the door. Don't buy jewellery in case they put it on and leave. I get you. I can understand the logic because of the shoes and stuff, but I don't know. Can you do even a voucher? And what does your partner or wife think of that? Greg, why wouldn't you go near a fairy tree? Really, do you believe in fairies? Does anyone have any stories about trees? I've heard from people who... And it was all grown up through my life. There's a couple of them around where we lived all through my childhood and into my adulthood. I wouldn't risk it. Why? Do I believe in... I don't know. I have heard too many stories from people that I trust as to why you wouldn't do it. So is it logical? Would I not? Why I wouldn't? Probably not. Does it make any sense? I don't know if it does. It probably doesn't. But would I go near one, i.e. start interfering with it? No. But if you have any stories about fairy trees, please share them with us. 086 60 25,000. 086 60 25,000. You shouldn't split the pole when walking with another. You shouldn't split. So what does that mean? Is that when people walk on either side of a pole? You shouldn't split the pole when walking with another. That's the only thing I can think of. It's unlucky to light the third match for a cigarette. Well, you shouldn't be lighting the first one. A little bit of public health information here on the 9 till noon show. It's amazing what we... it's amazing what information you get here. Right, okay, stay with me. I do have to take a short break and then we'll be back with more. There's apparently a unique opportunity to learn campaign skills at a free residential boot camp. Martina Quinn is Managing Director of Alice Public Relations and joins us now. Right, okay, what's going on here? Martina, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. Thanks so much for having me on.
That's all right.
I am the founder and the managing director of a company called Alice Public Relations. We have been in business for 8 years and we work on campaigns that create positive change across Ireland. We have an office in Dublin and we have an office in Belfast. And we've been really lucky since we established ourselves back in 2015 to work with some of the best and most interesting and most significant charities and non-profit organisations doing really important work across the island of Ireland on topics like migrant rights, LGBT rights, tackling homelessness, promoting education and training opportunities and so on. So we now want to give something back, and we have established what we're calling the ALIST Academy for Activists, and it's going to run in January of 2024. And we're offering 20 people the chance to come and join us for this 3-day boot camp where they can learn all about how to campaign.
And I presume ideally, because of the spaces being limited, and there'll probably be quite a lot of interest nationally, I'm sure there will be, in fact, you obviously you want someone who's got already, you know, a bit of a foot in activism, maybe particularly interested in particular subjects. What, in other words, really the question is what will your selection criteria be?
Yeah, so we're asking people to complete an application process. They can do that through our website. All the details are there on alicepr.com, and they can either send in a written application, or if they would prefer, they can do a video recording or an audio recording, whatever suits them best. And the application is pretty simple. It's to just sort of tell us about their background and why they would like to do this and why they think they'd benefit from it. And yes, indeed, we'd like people who have some sort of fledgling involvement already in activism. So it might be that, you know, you're somebody who is really passionate about the climate emergency and you want to get more involved. You could be somebody who got involved in the climate change protest while you were in school and now you want to sort of build on that. A good example, I think, in Donegal is people who have become activists through the MICA protests and through the whole situation that's arisen there. You know, so they were regular people who sort of almost against their will, or certainly against any grand plan they had, have been forced almost to become activists because of circumstances that they found themselves in. You could be a farmer who's looking to encourage more people to get into agriculture or to think about agriculture as a career. You could be somebody in your 70s or 80s or 90s who wants to combat ageism. Mm-hmm. So we're keeping it really, really broad. Our only limitation is that you must be over 18. There's no upper age limit. We want to attract people of all ages and from all corners of the country.
All right. And I think you've mentioned, but just in case, people, how long does the course last? What's the story with accommodation and what have you?
Yeah, so we're offering this as a completely free opportunity for all our participants. We're covering all the costs. It'll take place in Dublin, and the plan is to begin the course on the evening of Thursday, the 11th of January. So we'll have a sort of welcome reception for all the participants that evening. Then all day on Friday, the 12th, and Saturday, the 13th of January, we'll be running workshops with the participants where they'll be learning their campaigning skills. And we'll finish on the Sunday morning, the 14th. So people will be home again by the lunchtime on the 14th, if they so wish.
All right.
And it'll be in accommodation will be provided for everybody in a city centre hotel. And then we're running the workshops in a venue called the Hen's Teeth Studio in again, very close to the city centre in Dublin.
Mustn't be many of them about. Okay, listen,
no.
thanks very much, Martina. More information at alicepr.com. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks so much,
right,
Greg. And we really hope to get lots of applications from Donegal. Thank
yeah.
you.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Martina Quinn, Managing Director of ALIST Public Relations. We've been asking your superstitions. Don't wear anything brand new to a wake or a funeral. Wow, I didn't know that one. I can't think now if I have or not. I hope I haven't. Another caller says, thanks for the tip on the shoes for the wife. A listener says, you never buy your partner or wife new shoes because they may walk out the door on you. This caller says, thanks for the tip on the shoes for the wife. I'm away to buy 3 pairs. Oh, my word. Maybe she's going to walk out on you to go and see Luke Holmes. He's huge here, isn't he? He's playing Belfast tomorrow night. And then Dublin, whenever. I don't know, was that tonight, Sunday? I don't know because I'm not going, so I was going to say I don't care. That's horrible. Of course I care. But lots of you are going. I would say they could have sold out the concerts many times over because every second post on Facebook is, anyone got Luke Combs tickets? Well, listen, to send you up the road, we don't play much music on the show, but to send you up the road, I'm going to play a bit of Luke Combs here. It might be muted on social media, but this is for our radio listeners.
Alone. So would you say we can't
if you go into Luke Holmes tomorrow night, enjoy. That's the kind of love we make there. One of his bigger songs. I'm not sure if it's one of the favourites out there. It's not my team, do you know what I'm saying? But I'm sure I'll jump on his bandwagon sooner than later. So as I say, that's for the Luke Holmes fans. Good luck and safe journey. Have a great time, and unlucky for you if you didn't manage to secure a ticket. Right, we were talking again. Don't know why this particular one has caught so much attention, but it's the shoes for your partner. A caller says, Greg, I've bought my partner two pairs of shoes and 12 years later, he's still here. Maybe I'll buy him another pair. I don't, why would you do that? Does everyone want their partners to leave? Everyone's, if there's a big rush in the shoe shops today, it's all down to us here. We want a cut of the profits, but it's for all the wrong reasons. All right, listen, thanks for that. A caller says, we built a house years ago. There was a fairy tree at the entrance. The builders laughed at me, pulled it up. The house was sold within 3 years of it being built. We just couldn't settle in it. I always blamed the fairy tree. 22 years later, I still do. People that bought it never had any problems, but maybe they weren't responsible for its removal. And as I say, you know, it is a thing. You know, it is a thing. And maybe we're focusing on that because it's probably the one thing, superstition, I wouldn't mess with. Right, we're going to keep that going out throughout the next hour. If you have any superstitions, be they regular or a little bit unusual, or any stories about superstitions, get them into us. The reason we're talking about it, of course, is because it's October, Friday, October the 13th. Friday the 13th. And just for a bit of fun. Give us a call too if you prefer, 07491 25000. Coming up after 11, we have That's Entertainment, where we're going to be going through all the things you can do to entertain yourself, be it the TV, the cinema, the stage, podcasts, books, whatever it might be. If there's anything you want to share with us, please get involved in that conversation, 086 60 25000. We've other guests coming up between 11 and 12 as well, but we want you, as I say, involved in that conversation and that bit of crack. All right, I just want to mention before 11, because I don't want to try and squeeze in another guest because we simply don't have the time. You might be aware that between the 14th and 21st of September, next year, we have, this is 2024, we have Salou Highland Radio Hooli. So we're going over there. When I say we, I don't mean me, but there's a whole crew of fantastic entertainers going to be there. Margot, John McNichol, Matt Levy, Robert Mazzell, Sean Cuddy, Hugo Duncan, Sinead Black, Trevor Lochry, the Ryan Turner Band, Olivia Douglas, and on it goes. They're going to be there to entertain you for 7 nights. The dinner, bed and breakfast included in the price. It's a 4-star Sol Costa Dorada Hotel if you want to check it out. It's going to be hosted by David James, and it's €817 per person sharing. So as well as the accommodation, the dinners, the breakfast, and all the entertainment, poolside entertainment and what have you, you get access to the shows. There's airport transfers, and as I mentioned, dinner each evening with wine included. The flights are not included. You have to book them yourself. But if you want a bit of assistance with that, you can contact Country Music Tours to book your place on the trip, but also get some advice on flights and timings and what have you. And you can contact them by going on the internet, countrymusictours.ie, or you can call 074-911-9955. So hopefully, I'm sure lots of you are going to go on that and have a fantastic time. It seems like a long way away, but I find, and I'm not sure if it's an age thing, but the weeks can go slow, but the years, they go fast. The next couple of minutes is going to go fast because we're heading towards news at 11, and then it's That's Entertainment.